As you know from our initial conversation, media impacts culture. That is why African Americans and Latinas must be at every level of media, from executives to producers to journalists. I am happy that you are joining me for part two of my conversation with media and communications expert Kamala Boyd about media and its impact on culture.
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Hi, Kamala.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine. It's great to have you back on the Empowerment Zone. We're having a part two conversation because our conversation went so long last time, we didn't even get to finish everything we wanted to cover.
I know.
I'm really, really glad you came back so that we can continue this important conversation on media and its influence on culture. During our last conversation, it was the day after the Uvalde tragedy, and you talked about how media was going to have to be very sensitive in dealing with that story. We also covered Walmart and the whole challenge in the media with the Juneteenth celebration. I'm from Texas, so I know all about Juneteenth, grew up celebrating Juneteenth from early childhood. It's a part of the African-American culture in Texas. And it's good to see that it is now a national holiday. And we talked about how Walmart had this media challenge with
a huge gaffe. Yes, huge. That was
with ice cream.
Yes, that freedom, yes. The taste of freedom was red velvet ice cream.
Yeah. So people can go back and listen to that interview later. But let's talk about media and its influence on culture. What do you mean by that? How is media influencing culture, and vice versa, how is cultural influence in the media?
Well, you're correct. It's circular. So culture, what is actually happening every day, influences what we see in the media, as opposed to a reporter finding a story or developing a story about something, a special interest that, or let's say huge win for the community. Many times, whatever is happening in a 24 hour time period is what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Exactly what you see. So if it's violence, and we've seen quite a bit of violence in a number of cities across the US, the news will lead with that violence.
Hmm.
So that influences what we see. We have no other idea of what has happened that was positive that day.
Hmm.
Okay. Because we have been inundated the first probably 5 to 8 minutes of the news with whatever is hot, whatever is you're going to click on. And the digital influence really challenged that. For when you talk about news media, now that news is not only a 24-hour cycle like a CNN or a Fox, you also have it where it's live, it's on the web,
yeah,
and it changes. So back in the day, they only had two times for a newspaper. You had the morning edition and the evening edition.
Right.
And it was printed. So you didn't have these live updates every 10 to 15 minutes. And because you didn't have that, what we saw wasn't as influenced, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting updates every 10 minutes between Twitter, Facebook, between social media, our regular traditional media. And so that influences what we do through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's just our habits, our behavior. Social media, for instance, we look at social media for photos and to catch up with our friends and that kind of thing. But social media is really about behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's about behaviors, and they monitor our behavior for marketing purposes. So if the media, what you see on WSB is now on Facebook, there's a correlation to our behaviors and what we see. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we are influenced directly and indirectly. Now, what happens in our, in culture, and I'm not just talking color when I talk, or race when I talk about culture. Right now, possibly Roe versus Wade being overturned is a women's health issue. Okay.
Correct.
That's not a, that's not just a, and it's a women's health. It's not even just childbearing women. It's all women. And mm-hmm. That will affect all of us. So that is, once again, culture, women's culture will be influenced if this is overturned, but it will happen in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, you'll be able to see it. Now, I know they say the revolution won't be televised, right? We know that. We hear that all the time. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing some stuff that's pretty close to a revolution that is televised. Mm-hmm. And that influences what we talk about. And sometimes it's good. In the case of Walmart, that was excellent. Because whoever was at the table let the ice cream get all the way to the shelves. And then when people heard, particularly Black Americans, heard that this ice cream was being sold, what is this? We don't like this. We don't want this. And Walmart heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart heard what was going on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and on Instagram, and the media picked it up. Once again, our culture, our thoughts about culture, once the media picks up on it, Walmart changed its tune. They changed overnight. Okay, we're sorry. We don't like this. We realize that you guys don't like this. We apologize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of that happened in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's our culture and that's media's influence right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, product development folk would probably follow along with this. It probably took them 6 to 8 months, if not a year, to plan that ice cream.
Correct.
And that whole project was slashed in 24 hours based on, right, Twitter and the voices of people saying, wait, freedom doesn't taste like red velvet. Who told you that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, if that is a working definition and some examples of that, we've also seen it. I will say this, and I am not a Trump supporter at all. That's my personal political statement. I am not a Trump supporter and was never a Trump supporter, but I will say this, he changed his presidency, changed even how do I want to say this? People became rude or aggressive in tone.
He definitely changed the American culture.
About respectability.
Correct.
Okay.
And civility.
And civility changed mm-hmm. instantly from one person's presidency. People became very bold
mm-hmm.
in their tone and their tenor. And that we can certainly say is attributed to him and actually his leadership style. And probably textbooks and they're down the line are going to talk about his presidency. They are going to probably in some way or another revel in his leadership, because while it may not have been my style of leadership, it certainly is an example of a leader's influence. And he changed the face of politics
mm-hmm.
just in that. So it doesn't, when we talk about culture, I want to make sure that we're not just talking about African-American culture.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about culture as a whole in the world. And the news running him, okay, President Biden and previous presidents don't have that type of coverage. He had coverage every day
mm-hmm.
on something. It was almost like they were waiting for him to say something too. And whatever those sound bites were truly influenced how we felt. We dreaded certain things. We celebrated certain things. Our emotions were attached to things. And that is a huge movement when you talk about the media being able to really not just give us news, but affect our emotions.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about how culture influences media. So how does media influence culture?
Well, they tell us at times, media, not just being the news media mm-hmm. in a traditional, so in our world, we have traditional media and we have social media and other channels. That influences what we see is what we do. Have you ever looked at, okay, so you don't, sometimes you don't even know you've seen it. You don't even know you've seen it. And our phones are a conduit for that. So you might say, I want McDonald's. Okay, if you really want McDonald's, and see McDonald's ads and not even pay attention. And then the McDonald's influence is surrounding you, you don't even know where that's coming from, but it's been your phone has probably picked up a little bit of it and some other things. And right now, media is influencing what you think. Let me give you another example. Designers and fashion folk will know about this. For instance, a color is picked every season from the Pantone colors, Pantone, for people who want to know what that is. You can Google it, Pantone color book. Pantone colors are assigned by number. Okay, so you have everything from chartreuse to about 80 shades of black. And the fashion industry comes together and says, what's the color going to be from the Pantones? So if it's fuchsia, if it's blue, if it's whatever that is, it's decided that this will be the color or the fashion industry's color of the season. So where will you see it? You'll see it at the Oscars and the dresses. Okay. You might see it all the way down to maybe hardware, like something as simple as a hammer might have a that's marketed to women might be a pink hammer or something. It's not breast cancer awareness. I'm kind of stretching it a little bit, but what I'm saying is that color you'll see everywhere. So then you'll say, well, I need a pink dress. Right now, media, what you see has now influenced your thought process, but it's also affect it's influenced economics, what you buy, what you like. Maybe you never liked pink until it became the color of the year. Okay. Maybe you never liked chartreuse. Okay. Or maybe you never considered green being something or orange or whatever color that is, you never considered it, but now you see it in fashion magazines. And then it's something a little weirder. And I used to talk to my students about this. So something else happens with that, that most of the media companies and William Randolph Hearst is probably the most well-known. He owned, that's Patty Hearst's father. Y'all Google that too. Listeners, Google that. I don't have time to get into all of that. But he owned several magazines and newspapers. And his magazines went from, I think it was either Time or Newsweek, all the way down to the fashion industry, to Cosmopolitan. So if you own something in your family that's several magazines and newspapers from fashion to world news, that's one voice that owns that. One voice. And that was what we used. That was before, like we used to get the magazine subscriptions in the mail. All of us had them. Our parents used to get it. My mom used to get Better Homes and Garden, all of that. So if one conglomerate owned that back in the 60s and 70s, and probably a little bit before then, imagine the influence if they were all coming together. We saw the same ads. We saw all of that. That's media influencing exactly what we do. Exactly what we do, what type of lawnmower to buy. When I'm saying that because I'm looking outside and there's somebody cutting grass, what kind of car. And then we got into something that was segmented because in cult now, if we want to start talking about race as a culture, and then there's a subculture with that, even with women, that's a whole nother other topic where many companies wanted to determine what the African-American dollar could buy. Okay. So, and that's, you know, Jim Crow times and all that. One example, and we'll talk about it, I guess, a little bit right now, but it's, you can pull it up, is how at Cadillac, for instance, did not want African-American buyers. But the African American community pulled Cadillac out of bankruptcy.
I did not know that fact.
The faith, yes, pulled them out of bankruptcy. The Cadillacs, because we our community supported or bought Cadillacs.
Loved them,
and they at one they didn't want us. So that was something that the industry did not want to market to us. Cadillacs that represented if the black man had a Cadillac. That was not something that the industry originally wanted to represent. And that's, you know, Jim Crow days and all of that. But the African-American community, literally, and there are studies about it, how they rescued the brand Cadillac out of bankruptcy.
That's amazing.
So culture, media, media placement, what we see, conglomerates, that's one reason why sometimes it gets a little scary when we see certain news organizations buying up everything.
Mm-hmm. Because okay. then that way they have an more of an influence.
They have a stronger influence. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And if they lean left or right, even though you're in media, you're really not supposed to.
If you're a journalist, and you work
for that organization. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if depending on what beat you have or what role you have, yeah, you're working for a segmented information or news. And that is not what journalism or media traditionally was to be.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of the historical and contemporary issues that are going on with media influencing culture. Let's talk about pet milk in the 1950s.
Well, there was something, let's give a little history, Ramona. The biggest thing in the media, or one thing in the media, is a shortage of formula for babies.
Mm-hmm.
There have been plenty of coverage, but also you've seen the photo ops of formula being dropped off at hospitals, certain states getting on. So there's a huge story of this shortage, and it's real. The shortage is real. The price of formula has increased. People are selling it on black market, and hiking up the price and all of that. Well, let's go back to our community, specifically the African-American community. Traditionally, we breastfed our babies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I can even remember all the way up to when I was growing up, it's a recent phenomenon that African-American women don't breastfeed as much as they used to.
Not only did we breastfeed our babies, we breastfed slave owners.
Yep. Yep.
Their babies. So clearly breast milk was the best milk.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If it was not only good enough for our children, but our history shows that there were wet nurses. So in the 50s in Reidsville, North Carolina, there was a physician, Dr. Fulk, in Reidsville, North Carolina, who delivered quadruplets.
OK.
Four sisters. Now, here is they were African-American. He was a white physician. He had some heavier influences in the family. The parents were illiterate, and the mother was probably not just unable to read. She might have had some other developmental issues. So he delivered the children, the quadruplets. And not only did he deliver them, he and his wife took the liberty of naming them. That's a little different. The doctor names
very different. Mm-hmm.
The children. And he, as the children, as the quadruplets grew up, he submitted them to pet milk, P-E-T, pet. They became the poster children for pet milk. Poster children. What that did instantly was increase the consumption of formula in our community, with these four African American babies in ads for pet milk or for the company for the formula. So not only did he negotiate this contract, he made money off of them, and the families made no money. They were all over Ebony. These quadruplets were Ebony, Jet, everywhere you could see. And their last name was Fultz, F-U-L-T-Z. It is noted that this one ad took over in the South, and it changed how we nursed or fed our infants based on this ad. Now, there's twofold. This is that we live in a consumer society. So there's two sides. Number one, the family never received a dime. He had complete control over the likenesses of the quadruplets and the marketing of the quadruplets and made money from that. The families made limited money. When they became adults, they were really challenged by this because they were famous, but they didn't have any money. Mm. Okay, so that's the economic side. The health and wellness side was that those ads are noted, once again, for changing how the African-American community took care of their infants, bottle fed. And that started in 1957. Mm. That's truly how media influences our culture. It changed our culture. So to now hear, now, and there's some other arguments here, but and I'll mention one of them. We don't want to shame women who are unable to nurse. Sometimes they're not able to nurse.
Correct. Okay?
And so there's no shame in that. And if the baby needs formula, baby's got to eat. So no reason for it. We don't, no shame in this. But traditionally, our culture did not even, we weren't bothered with any Similac.
That's correct.
Okay. We weren't, that wasn't ours. And it, if night was it 1957 is when it happened. So was that the last, I don't know how many years, but it's, you know,
last
70 years or so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Had that, that's real. And it's once again, changed how we fed our children. There's that other side too, the unscrupulous dealings and probably unethical things that happen. We could probably have another conversation about that. But the advertising alone, these quadruplets were known. This is not something that was, they were admired. They were all, they've taken to Bob Hope and all of, you know, they were all on TV and they received nothing or very little of that advertising dollar.
And there's so many stories like that throughout American history of marginalized communities being taken advantage of economically. So when we look at, you know, here at the Empowerment Zone, we're all about empowerment and impact of the African-American and Latino communities. How can we take this information about media's influence on our culture and our influence on media? How can we take this information and empower our communities in some type of way?
Well, there are two ways. Number one, even though people kind of scoff at this, I think we need more liberal arts majors and we need the communications majors and advertising and MBAs. We need all of them at the table at everywhere there is a table. Okay. Mm-hmm. So while I know STEM is hot and what people want to do, don't shy away from liberal arts because those are the decision makers at the table. We and not just African-American decision makers, everybody needs to have a seat at that table for all representation. Mm-hmm. The second part to that, how can we just saw it, do what they did with Walmart or what we did with Walmart, speak it. Mm-hmm. If we don't like it, speak it. And we see that more often now. I think now more than ever, we are changing marginalized communities or Black, Brown, and poor communities are changing what has been shown for 100 years. It's starting now. We can talk about the police shootings, seeing those things over a course of years changed a number of things. And we spoke out about it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. We spoke out about it. So that, and then also having conversations where, although it is something to be angry about, and I was definitely angry from all the horrible images I saw of African-American men going through police brutality, I think a rounded discussion has to be at the end of that anger. Mm-hmm. And it also has to be said that one voice does not represent all thoughts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're not monolithic. Mm-hmm. And media tends to look at us in a monolithic way. are Black, Brown, and marginalized or poor communities. Mm-hmm. So we're not that. I just named four different categories: Black, Brown, poor, marginalized. Mm-hmm. So that's not monolithic. Because of it, I think the way we move into the future is to make sure all of those voices are heard in a rounded way. And that when we do get the wins, and we're getting them, we are getting them, let's take note how that win is recognized and build on that. Mm-hmm. And so everything from Walmart, what else has happened that you can clearly see? During COVID, for instance, the poor communities were the plight of an average wage and the loss of an average wage mm-hmm. was recognized during the pandemic when people didn't have jobs.
Correct.
Okay. So that's when folk realized that $15 an hour is not a good job. Mm-hmm. That's a check. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because the loss of that $15 an hour on 40 hours a week, for some people, the loss of it, and even with a little bit of replacement with unemployment, they were still behind the eight ball mm-hmm. and still unable to take care of their families. And they were already struggling anyway on that $15. Mm-hmm. Okay. So things like the pandemic shed light on the plight of the poor or underserved. And that, I think, is how we build on that. It's not just police brutality or something so obvious. It's the other things that are, you know, the wage thing or women's rights. All those things are all things we can shed light on. How we can change it in the news is the news focuses on some of the more obvious wrongs and mistakes. So let's start African-American reporters in particular, women who are reporters, other minorities. And I see this all the time, my colleagues, many times. They do cover stories that have interest in building the community. Mm-hmm. It happens. Now, sometimes they'll get cut, but many times that representation, even in the newsroom, is indeed there. In Atlanta, we are lucky to have so many African-American reporters. Mm-hmm. And many of them are always and often willing to tell the story and to give a balanced view or to dig a little deeper. And so that is a blessing we have here. And in many cities there are, but here in Atlanta, we probably have an abundance of reporters that look like everybody mm-hmm. and represent all communities.
Yeah. So we do have power. You know,
oh yeah, we wouldn't have been enslaved if we didn't have power.
Right. And we have power to influence media, and you've mentioned several ways the African American and Latina community can influence the direction and the stories and the impact that the media is making on our communities. First, we need to make sure that people in our communities pursue education and careers in media, and that we need media professionals in our community. We need individuals and organizations and institutions in our communities to speak up and speak out. We can influence what is stated on media if we participate in the process. We also need to have conversations to make sure that our voices are heard. And then media really needs to realize that we're not monolithic communities, and that we have multiple perspectives in both of our communities, and they need to be, all of those perspectives, many of them need to be highlighted in the media. And lastly, those journalists who are already out there, we need you to feature stories. Positive stories about the work and the lives of African Americans and Latinos.
Can I add one more thing?
Yes.
And we talked about this a little bit. The last thing I would add to that is we need to understand the history of culture and media. I just gave a couple examples a little earlier, but sometimes taking a minute to read or to view some of the other things that happened that led us to where we are in 2022. And understanding that That stuff is not just random and happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there were and understanding that sometimes you can see how your voice now fits, or how what you want to say. There's a platform for it. It's been built for you,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and you can find that platform if you go back and look at history and see some of the things that happened that weren't so cool.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any final thoughts about media and culture and, you know, empowerment and impact?
Well, don't turn off the news. People say they want to turn off the news. Don't turn off the news. It kills the ratings. Ratings keep people higher. Those are my friends. We're going to say that. But keep in mind that what you watch does influence how you think.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another correlation there. How people think and their feelings and attitudes and behaviors, once again, they go where those needs are met.
Mm-hmm.
So in this particular case, Fox News meets the needs of certain groups. CNN meets the needs of other groups. So keep in mind that if you are that person, you are getting a segmented view.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not objective many times if you're only listening to what you want to hear. So you empower yourself by opening up and listening to everything, getting a rounded view.
So, Kamala, I know you've given us a strategy for college success in your last interview. And I really liked your strategies. A failed freshman year does not indicate failure in life. And C's get degrees, and everybody doesn't have to go to college. College is not for everyone, as my cousin stated. So do you have any other valuable advice you would provide students?
Well, I provide this to students and families. Now, everyone doesn't have a mom and dad. They have grandma, aunts, uncles, mm-hmm. and people who support them. When a child goes away to college or just down the street, they're going to need as much support as the first grader.
Mm.
Okay. So we know how we walk the first grader to school. Now, don't walk your 18-year-old to freshman year. Don't do that. Don't do it, parents. But the support needed, that you are now ushering a child into adulthood. And you are literally ushering them there in college. So families, and advice is to hold the hand of the child or your teenager or your young adult. Do that. It's okay. Don't be ashamed to do that. It's needed. You're ushering them into adulthood. And now don't helicopter. That's don't do that. Don't be overbearing. But an 18, 19-year-old still needs some guidance. So that's my advice for college. For families and students, and 18-year-old, you probably still need some guidance from your family or your parent. Take it. You need it.
I really like that advice that, you know, we have to continue to support our young people when they go to college, that mm-hmm. we all have a responsibility. I know I got through college, undergrad, and graduate school because of the support that I had from my family.
Exactly.
Parents, as well mm-hmm. as extended family, and my extended family from my small town of Brownwood. You know, people, when I would come home for the summer, I'd come home for holidays, somebody would hand me $2. Hey, I heard you were in college. Here's $2. There somebody else would give me $5. Another person would give me stamps and envelopes. They all those people played their role in supporting my development. And some would stop me and give me advice unsolicited that was very helpful to me in college. So I totally agree with you that the whole community needs to be involved in making sure that these individuals succeed in college. Thank you so much, Kamala. That was great advice.
Thank you for having me again.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song. NADWORKS, digital support. And of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.